good news. The call is being recorded, and we're ready for this evening's discussion. Before we begin this evening, I'd like to welcome all those who are joining us for the first time. Welcome to the call. Every Tuesday night, we get together for about an hour to discuss principles to assist you in better applying the six qualities of an intentional creator, better understanding your assessment. We'll at times talk about specific. Occasionally, I'll share with you some insights that I've gathered from some of my favorite books, which we're going to do tonight. And sometimes we'll just be available to answer questions. And through this process this evening, we would like to invite anyone who is struggling with a question or a challenge, if you feel comfortable, to please come off of mute and notify. And we will be more than happy to assist you the best we possibly can. So just come off. Hey, hi, Dave. And if I'm not responding, I'm not hearing you. So press star 6 one more time. I'll acknowledge you're on the line with me. And then we can hear your question, and we'll do our very best to be of service. They're designed to inspire you, to breathe life into you. I want to share with you a couple things that have happened in this last week. One, we have made a small shift in the name of the new book, Intentional Creation, which is the manuscript. My part of the manuscript has been completed. We're changing the title from Intentional Creation, Creating Your Dreams in Tangible Reality, which is in fact what you can do. We're changing it to Finding Light in the Darkness. Because so many people are explaining to me they're experiencing a dark night emotionally or financially or physically. And these principles that we teach are truly designed to help someone to dig themselves out of that pit, to get out of the wallowing in their own stuff, and finally become alive again with thought processes that are constructive, that will create passion, ignite passion, passion that will drive our discipline, focus, effort, and action. So that whatever happens in the end, it's as good as it could have been, because we will have been in creation instead of in discouragement and anger and frustration. Well, this has been a particularly interesting day. I'm going to take you into a very private place, and if we have any noise in the background, we'll just have you press star 6 so that we can mute out any noise, then just come back on if you'd like to ask a question. Sometimes we face really difficult decisions, especially when we're in a business deal, some kind of business, and there might be a lot of money or potentially a lot of money on the line. Sometimes we can have our integrity tested. I have been staring across my office at my bookshelf. There has been one book on this bookshelf. I recently came back to the corporate office during the week. I have a wonderful library at home. Here in the office, there was only one book. It's been staring at me now for the 4 or 5 weeks I've been back. It's Stephen M. R. Covey's book, The Speed of Trust. And I was drawn to it today because of a circumstance that we were involved in, a decision that needed to be made. I've been off and on the phone with board members today from our group to make a good and wise decision. In this book, I just loved this book when I first read it. I marked it up, and I want to give all of the attribution to Stephen M. R. Covey for this brilliant work, The Speed of Trust. If we're having a challenge, if our businesses are not moving fast enough, there may be something in the area of trust that is struggling. And so I'd like to just rehearse with you tonight what Stephen calls his four cores of trust. And let us be introspective in examining our lives, because if things aren't working, it's generally not the world that's a problem. Oh, the world can have its problems. But we know that in every economic situation, people succeed who stay in creation and are looking for ways to solve other people's problems. So we know that success isn't just dependent on an economy. It's more dependent on us being the economy. How are we doing? So let's take a look at these. I want to share some of these with you this evening, so take some notes. We're also recording this call, so you can go back and listen to it at a later date. I'd like you to take a note. The very first core of trust is called integrity. These are the four cores of credibility, as he would call them, that speed up trust. But the first core principle is integrity. And he says the first core deals with the issue of integrity. This is what most people think about when they think about trust. To many, integrity basically means honesty. While integrity includes honesty, it's much more. It's integratedness. Now, that's an interesting word. I'm not sure it's even a real word, but integratedness. It's walking your talk. So under the word integrity, just write, walk your talk. It's being congruent inside and out. It's having the courage, cor, the heart, cori, from French, meaning heart or blood, the courage to act in accordance with your values and beliefs. Interestingly, most massive violations of trust are violations of integrity. It's when we're not true, we're not walking our talk. Today, we faced a decision. It was a tough decision to make, in the sense that there was so much at stake, but in fact was not difficult to make based on this particular principle. Can we walk our talk? Would we want for this possibility? And the answer is absolutely not. We never compromise integrity. It's one of the cores of our credibility as a person. We'll talk more about this in a moment. The second core is called intent. Now, I love the way he's phrased this, because we call our program intentional creation. Tent meaning to stretch, to be in stretching. So intent is about stretching. The second core deals with the issue of intent. This has to do with our motives, our agenda, and our resulting behavior. Trust grows when our motives are straightforward and based on mutual benefit. What a key phrase. In other words, when we genuinely care not only for ourselves, but also for people we interact with, lead, and serve. When we suspect a hidden agenda from someone, or we don't believe they are acting in our best interest, we're suspicious about everything else they say and do. So in your business, what is your agenda? Now, some of you are in direct sales, and sometimes some people might suggest that you use something that is not intentional, something that is not straightforward, something that is more manipulative, something that is not really your agenda. When we teach intrinsic validation, we teach people to set aside their agenda, set aside their own personal baggage, and to step into someone's world free of an agenda with the pure intention of being there to serve that person, to find out what's really important to them, and identifying that, stepping into their world, finding out about their dreams and their hopes. We may discover in that space that if we have a product to offer, it may serve them. But we do not know until we step in free of an agenda. Otherwise, and I want to design one of these, I want you to picture this. Picture this hand up above the left of your head. I think I've said this to a few of you before. And envision it's a tiger head. So put your hand up in the air and just pick your fingers like they're claws. And it's just sitting there. And sometimes we act like we care about people just to get enough information for this tiger to pounce on them. Woof! And that's our agenda, just sitting there. Well, people can sense that agenda up there, and they're very unlikely to let that wall down and to be open to us when we are not being straightforward. So what is our intention? It is better to simply say to someone, I'm trying to make a lot of money, and I need to have a lot of people on my business selling a lot of product. You want to be one of them, than to be less than integrous with our intent. Now, we can be truly caring about people and truly step into their world without an agenda. And then we can find in that process, as we study intrinsic validation, how to have that conversation, how to try on their dream. This is the right time to gain agreement and share with them that which we would like to share in the context of what we've discovered, honestly discovered, with proper intention. Core number three. Oh, by the way, there's a comment from John Huntsman. John Huntsman is one of my heroes, the chairman of Huntsman Chemical. He says, there are no moral shortcuts in the game of business or life. there are basically three kinds of people: the unsuccessful, the temporarily successful, which sometimes are enamoring, we're attracted by those, and those who become and remain successful. The difference is character. John Huntsman is a man of character. If you've read some of his books, you'll know that there are times when he has stuck to a business deal, even when it was going to cost him a great deal of money because things had shifted. He still stuck to his agreement. Amazing human being. Proper intention. Now, core number three. So we got it so far. Core one, integrity. Walk our walk. Intention, to be straightforward with our motives, that they be based on mutual benefit. That's a key phrase. Three is capabilities. So we've got integrity. We walk our talk. We have intention. Our intentions, our motives are pure. Pure motives. Capabilities. This is an interesting question. We've got just a little noise in the background, so if we could just have everybody press star 6, that would be really helpful. See if we can't mute out that noise that's in the background. Just press star 6. Thanks, everyone. The third core deals with the issue of capabilities. These are the abilities we have that inspire confidence. Now listen to what these are. Talents, attitudes, and we can all choose our own attitude. Viktor Frankl makes that clear. It's the one thing no one can take away from us is our right to choose our attitude in any circumstance. Our talents are often gifts. Attitudes are a choice. Skills, knowledge, and style. So talents, attitude, skill, knowledge, and style. They are the means we use to produce results. A family doctor might have integrity, and his motives might be good. They might be pure. But unless he's trained and skilled to perform the task at hand, a procedure like brain surgery, he'll be lacking in credibility in that area. Capabilities also deal with our ability to establish, grow, extend, and restore trust. Restore trust is an important one. Because some of us are dealing with family members and friends. What are our capabilities? Are we, in fact, gaining increasing levels of knowledge? Talents, are we? Or are we not? Are we trying to get by on what we currently have without growing? Our capabilities, this is a huge piece of speeding up trust. And the fourth one, we talk about this one in the office all the time. It's results. This refers to our track record, our performance, our getting the right things done. If we don't accomplish what we're expected to do, it diminishes our credibility. When we achieve the results we promised, we establish a positive reputation of performing, of being a producer, and our reputation precedes us. This is such a key piece. You know, we can be excited, and sometimes I get very excited about what we're doing, and maybe more so than I should be, because then we work day and night to get there, and maybe we're a little late in getting something done. Feel horrible about it. It impacts our results. It impacts our credibility. Can impact a person's trust. If we are trying to be in a business where we are wanting to engage someone in a coaching engagement or enroll them in a business or in our ideas, what have been our results in the past? What results have we had? Sometimes they don't speak very well, and it slows down trust. We can have integrity, walk our talk, have pure intentions, be quite capable, but absent results, we don't have credibility. Now let's go into just a little bit more detail regarding these and see if I can't assist you in gaining even a greater understanding of why this is so important. I love this quote from Stephen R. about Gandhi. He says, what Gandhi thinks, what he feels, it's actually Desai who said this, what he feels, what he says, and what he does are all the same. He does not need notes. He never needed it when he spoke. You and I, we think one thing, feel another, and say a third, and do a fourth. So we need notes and files to keep track. we have true integrity, our public, our private, and our secret selves are the same, or very close. We don't act one way in public, act another in the privacy of our home, and act an entirely different in the secrecy of our lives. Those things are all congruent. Great word, congruent. My life is an invisible whole, and all my activities run into one another. My life is a message. That's what Gandhi said. My life is a message. A humble person is more concerned about what is right than about being right, about acting on good ideas than having the ideas, about embracing new truth and defending outdated positions, about building the team than exalting self, about recognizing contribution than being recognized for making it. This is about integrity, truly, truly focused on another person. He asks some questions for us to explore. Do I genuinely try to be honest in all my interactions with others? Do I typically walk my talk? Am I clear on my values? Do I feel comfortable in standing up for them? Am I open to the possibility of learning new truths that may cause me to rethink issues or even redefine my values? Am I open? Am I able to consistently make and keep commitments to myself? Boy, I'm thinking about last night. I've been on this diet and working out, and we're sitting there watching the Olympics, Ramona and I, and I'm drinking some sugar-free, I can't even remember what it's called. It's Crystal Light, I think it's called. And, man, I was just, wanted something salty. So somehow I convinced myself to go upstairs and get that bag of barbecue potato chips we bought last week when we were away, and went down and I started munching on it, and I got a few of them in. I'd set it over on the other chair, and then a few minutes later I'd pick it up and have a few more. It was an absolute conflict with what my commitment is to myself. Now that may seem like a small thing, but how often are we not true to our own commitments to ourselves? We commit to do something, and then we don't keep our commitments. Anwar Sadat said, "He who cannot change the very fabric of his thought will never be able to change reality and will never, therefore, make any progress." So integrity. Let us walk our talk, even when the decisions that have to be made could impact our very financial foundation or relationships or other things. We had to make a decision today that was of such significance, but it was the right decision, trusting that power that governs abundance, if we stay true to our beliefs, that we'll be blessed. Opportunities will open that will far surpass that one. Let us make those decisions. Many of you have made them in the past. Sometimes they can be very scary to make because we don't know what's going to happen. But I can tell you from having made several over the course of my life that when we do, we always look back with deep sense of gratitude because things have opened up in our lives that never would have opened up otherwise. I also know that when I didn't make that decision properly, I paid an awful price for it. So let us be integrous. Next intent. It says in law, a man is guilty when he violates the rights of another. In ethics, he is guilty if he only thinks of doing so. Immanuel Kant, very interesting comment. In our intentions, our motive is our reason for doing something. It's the why that motivates the what. What we're doing, and the question is, why am I doing that? The motive that inspires the greatest trust is caring. I would like you to write that down. The motive that inspires the greatest trust is genuine caring. Caring about people, caring about purposes, caring about the quality of what you do, caring about society as a whole. About an hour ago, my brother came by to visit. Now, my brother, I can share this with you, is a recovering alcoholic. He's been gracious enough to participate in a program entitled I Am My Brother's Keeper, where he shares his experience of becoming sober. And I said to him tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be on a call with some really wonderful people. A bit of a dark night. And I said, bro, what would you say to these people if you had an opportunity to be on this call tonight? And he got a little afraid I was going to actually have him on the call. And he said a couple of things in terms of our intention. He says, wake up every morning with a purpose. He said, when I was drinking, I just woke up. What happened didn't matter. Now I wake up with a purpose. Life matters. Simple, simple advice, isn't it? And he says, and some days we'll run, and some days we'll crawl. Pretty simple. We got done with our conversation tonight, because we were talking about some really important things in our life together, and it was just so fun to put my arms around him and just hold him, tell him how much I loved him. This amazing human being, this brave soul who's taking on this horrible disease with such courage, such conviction. I ask him tonight, what's different? Remember our conversation last week? He said, we were talking about the same thing we read last week in the big book, about a willingness to accept a power greater than ourselves. I said, what did you learn about this? And he said, it's interesting. I learned that God, my conception of God, does not speak to my head, he speaks to my heart. And my job is to get my head congruent with my heart. Whew. Talk about a pure motive. Talk about intention. Simple advice. He says, we discovered, as it says in the big book, that we must be tolerant of others because they're sick too. I said, share with me what you think about that. And he said, well, I drank. But once I stopped drinking, I had to start dealing with my thinking. But I also discovered that almost everybody else is dealing with some of the same issues in terms of their thinking. I said, what's the difference? I've been so deeply humbled. I really want to change it. Wow. Something to consider. This agenda grows out of our motive. It's what you intend to do or promote because of your motive. The agenda is generally inspires the greatest trust in seeking mutual benefits. The agenda that generally inspires the greatest trust is seeking mutual benefit. Typically, behavior is the manifestation of motive and agenda. The behavior that best creates credibility and inspires trust is acting in the best interest of others. So let's have our intention in all that we do. You know, some say, can you really succeed doing this? And I go back to John Huntsman. John Huntsman was telling us, oh yeah, there are those who have temporary successes. There are those people that are failures. But those who have long-term success have character. These are the very principles that guide great success. If we want to become successful, we'll want to become, as Stephen M. R. is explaining, am I seeking to bless or to impress? Because quite often we get caught up in trying to impress and pretend because we feel fear or shame. Next was capabilities. Capabilities are credible. They inspire trust. He gives us five letters, an acronym. So write T-A-S-K-S, tasks. Let me give them to you. Talents, attributes, skills, knowledge, style. I mentioned those earlier. Those are the tasks. We want to improve our talents. We want to change our attitude, improve our skills, increase our knowledge, and style. Style is something we can be conscious of. Og talks about this, my good graces, improving my good graces, being conscious of how we come across to another person. What is our style? Is it inclusive? Is it exclusive? Is it egotistical? Is it warm? Oh, to be conscious enough about how we impact another person. That is practicing capabilities. Ah, how fun. And lastly, results. I'm just about done here. What have we done in the past? What are we doing in the present? What will we do in the future? How are we viewed by those who are closest to us? He said it's vital to take responsibility for results, not just activities. I've had people say to me, but I work really hard and I work really long. Well, what are your results? I'm tired. Can you take tired to the bank? The answer is no. When we take responsibility for the results, not just the activity, what the activity is creating, that's where we want to focus. This approach, he says, unleashes creativity. It helps you understand that if you can't get results one way, you try another. You don't just sit there and whine, well, I did what you told me to do. Isn't that a great line? How many times have we heard that from someone? I did what you told me to do. When we take personal responsibility for our results, we open up something really precious. He calls it creativity. Yes, mental rehearsal. We are going to figure this out one way or another because we're responsible for what happens. We're not responsible for the time we spent or how hard we worked. We're responsible for what got created. So we take the hard work, we take the time, and we apply it to practices that will actually move our businesses forward. Accomplishing results will build credibility and trust, but will also build credibility and trust. Sometimes, even when the results are not good, and sometimes when they are not even your fault. I close with that thought. There are times when things happen, and we want to blame or explain or... I remember one great CEO who used to explain to me, Dave, I don't mind someone making a mistake. It just drives me crazy when they won't take accountability for it. When someone walks in and said, this is what I did, this is what happens, this is what I learned, this is what I'll do in the future, he simply says, way to be. Okay, so those are the four cores of credibility. Let's be integrous. Let us have pure intention. Let us work on increasing our capabilities. And let us focus not on being busy, but on creating results so that we can unleash the genius of our mind to give us inspired ideas that will drive our discipline, focus, effort, action so the time being spent is in creation. And whatever happens will be the best that it possibly can be. Well, that's what I wanted to share with you this evening. So if you've got some tough decisions, some of you face some, I'm going to encourage you not to be fearful. I'm going to encourage you to focus on doing that which falls into these four areas of being integrous, with pure intentions, increasing our capability, and creating results. And trust that that's the best thing to do, whatever it is. Don't have any fear around it, because there is a power greater than you that will be in alignment with you when you're integrous, when you're congruent with that power, and your life will be blessed. Well, I want to open this up to any questions or comments or thoughts that anyone has. Shane and Judy, are you on the line with us? I'm not sure if they're going to be with us tonight.
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, good. We had a great conversation the other day about what you've been doing to take on and intentionally create in your life. Shane, would you be willing to share with us, I know you are because you said the other day when we were visiting privately that you would, to share some of the steps that you've taken in your life to create stability and security for your family in the light of this craziness in this economy? Would you share with us some of your thoughts and your process and what you've gone through?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe if I could recap in 30 seconds what's happened since September 1st. I had a very good job. Definitely was nervous about the stability of it. It was construction related. We had just returned home from a weekend up at Dave's cabin. Improving our relationship. My wife and I have a great marriage, great relationship. We just wanted to go up and spend some time with each other. And I came home that Monday morning and found out I was laid off. And so I was already working on, you know, daily creation and being present and working on power sessions and things like that. And all of a sudden I went into a mode where I was just felt like the need to try to create all day long to, you know, get me out of my situation. And then what has resulted from that was a direction that I wasn't expecting. I found what you could call a job, employed, selling for a local company. And then when I took what I was doing to a friend of mine that had owned a business, he saw value in what I was doing and wanted to expand that into a division of his business. And in about 15 minutes of conversation with him, I was the manager over a new division in his company. And a couple weeks ago when that was all coming about, it's not necessarily a line of work that I can get real excited about. And we talked to Dave a little bit about that, and said that, you know, the excitement has got to come from what it provides and the things that that benefit from being active in that. So I was re-energized, refocused, but never in my wildest dreams when I was trying to create something did I know what the universe was going to provide. What the Lord provided me. And, I'm going with it. It's interesting. It's been a challenge. It's hard work every day to try to get it to the point where it benefits me the way I would like it to. But I know Judy's on the line. She has input to this as well. You there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I'd like to ask that the reason that opportunity came to Shane is because when he did have his own business and we were running our own business, he ran it with integrity that Tony didn't even question his work ethic or his integrity of him the position of being the manager of that. So what you were saying absolutely helped create new opportunity and snowballed into something that is going to be very beneficial for our family. So I just wanted to add that little tidbit there.
Well, I'd like to add something, if I may. When you shared this story, there were a couple little details that I remember. And one, I needed to take whatever work I could get to support my family. So you were selling a product quite a ways away from your home, but that was what was generating enough revenue for you to live on, and you were successful doing it. And I remember you saying to me, one day I felt impressed to go talk to a friend of mine and ask him if he would be interested in doing something like that. And his response to you, Shane, was?
Sorry, he told me that I've been thinking for a couple of months about starting an energy savings division in my business.
And I'm thinking about
it. I need someone to manage that. And so it makes hair stand up on my neck to think of the fact that that's not a coincidence. It didn't happen by accident. I acted on my thoughts, and it brought me together with someone who was having more thoughts about what could be done and not quite knowing how to complete the puzzle, and together were able to do that.
Yes.
Not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence at all. In action, doing all you can, increasing your capabilities, absolutely integrous, walking your talk, absolutely pure motive, how can we bless other people's lives? The doors open. All of a sudden you find yourself in a job. Is it fair to say, Shane, that this particular job economically could be better for you now than the construction job was?
Yeah. Yeah, that's even one of the amazing things about it is the potential. The potential is so much more than where I was. The opportunity to grow is there because I was pretty much top of the ladder, so to speak, where I was at before.
Now you got a base salary that almost matches it and an unlimited opportunity, an opportunity to bless people's lives and saving energy, and an opportunity for you to come home at night and really invest time with your family. I want to tell you something about Shane. Shane shared a story with me, and I hope this doesn't embarrass him. I'm going to tell you, even if you don't want me to tell him, Shane. Shane was telling me that... you know, in the midst of all this, anybody been in a real difficult financial situation where you're not sure where the next dime's going to come from? And so emotionally, you're kind of shut down. You're unavailable. You might have children. You might have a spouse. But at home, you're just not really present. Let me tell you how Shane responds. Shane says, I need to spend time with my daughter. So I say to my daughter, we need to go have a daddy-daughter date. What would you like to do? She says, I want to go camping. This is wintertime. They went out to the West Desert outside the Salt Lake here, and they camped the night that huge... 10 years old. Yeah, camped the night that huge snowstorm came, and they had a blast camping, and the next day they had their guns and did target shooting until, as he said, her finger was so cold she had to stop. Heart's content, I think is what you said, Shane, and came home. I thought... that story needs to be told. That sometimes when we're dealing with crap in our lives, we sometimes forget what's really important. And I think one of the reasons you've been blessed, Shane, is you didn't forget. You just didn't forget. You remembered what was really important. Your daughter never felt the struggle you're having financially in terms of you being able to spend quality time with her. What a gift. Thanks for sharing that with me when we met, because that was such an important piece of this message. Judy, I know you've been hanging in there and working hard and doing everything you can to pinch corners and make things happen, and all of a sudden, the opportunities open up and your life's being blessed. What a great thing. And I know I wanted to share that story with everyone, because many of you have been on this call for quite some time, even back in September, the Tuesday after Shane lost his job, and he shared that with us. And a couple of those moments along the way where he wasn't sure how he was going to make it. Remember those stories he shared and Judy shared? This is an amazing, amazing progress by applying, staying focused on these absolute principles. So congratulations to all of you and courage to us to stick with and do what's required to implement and live these principles. So thank you. Is there anyone else on the call?
One thing that I could add.
Please go ahead.
One thing I could add to that is we still have a lot of work to go. You mentioned that base salary and that part's not in effect. You know, I still have to create and I still have to make this work and I still have to get it to that point. So there's a lot of 12 to 14 hour days, there's a lot of ups and downs, but you know, the focus and the at the end of the tunnel working in harmony with the hours and being in creation is our focus, and you know, some of the things that we believe in and rely on to get to that point. And you know, you mentioned that, but then when we follow the power sessions that anyone who's truly followed them for 90 days experiences a miracle. Well, mine didn't happen in 90 days. I think it's fair to say the curveball that was thrown at me the weekend I got home from couples retreat extended my days and made me have to regroup. But I can tell you that focusing on that creation, definitely get emotional about it. I would consider what happened to me a miracle. So that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have been practicing and focusing on the things that were coached on those retreats and on our coaching sessions with you. And so definitely some credit goes to you and the Augmentino group and the people that work there for that to have even been an opportunity for us. So appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Principles are only principles till someone puts them into practice. I remember working with the Goodman family, a family of a musical family that was singing, and they had a car accident one Sunday, and we're going to go ahead and everybody press star 6 one more time if we can, because we've got a lot of echo in the background. If everybody could just help us out, press star 6, please. There we go. Thank you. I was working with the Goodman family, and there was an accident one Sunday, and they lost 3 of their children. Just a terrible tragedy. And they wrote a book about it. And they came to me and said, Dave, what should the title be? And I said, we ought to call it Parting the Red Sea One Bucket at a Time. And then we had a subtitle that was inside the book they mentioned, which was, Miracles Are Only Miracles in Retrospect. Because most of the time when we're in the middle of the firestorm, it doesn't look like a miracle. It's when we can sit here on February 16th and look back to September 1, we can see the miracle. We can see the footprints in the sand. So may we have the courage to press forward. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, is there anyone else that would like to share this evening? Circumstance or success or a challenge? This is your time. And if you're talking, you're on mute. Okay, well, I'm going to share with you a principle that I'd like you to work on this week. And it was mentioned just a moment ago, interestingly enough, by Shane, Power Sessions. We find this in the section on completing tasks. We find that most of us spend more time in our heads than present in the now. And when we're in our heads, 98% of us spend that time destructively in escape and avoid fantasy and in catastrophe, tormenting ourselves over things that may never come to pass. These are not constructive things. They're time wasters. We spend an hour in that space, we'll waste 12 hours of the day because it takes that long for the cortisol and adrenaline to bleed off of our system, where parts of our brain are shut down, our bodies feeling anxious and even tormented, emotionally paralyzed. We don't want to spend time in this space. We want to be present in the now. If we're in our mind, we know we use it 5 constructive ways. When we're present in the now, we want to be in focused, driven, passion-driven action. I want to rehearse this with you one last time for you, not last time, but one more time for you to implement this week. I dare you to do it. I just dare you to do it. Wake up in the morning and have a little devotional. Wake up before everybody else. Read scroll number 5. I'll live this day as if it is my last. Drops spill upon the sand. You're not going to spend one moment mourning yesterday's defeats or aches of the heart. I'm going to live in the now. Be grateful for this life. It'll prepare you. You'll work harder than ever before. Sell more than ever before. Do things you've never done before. Do the work a failure will not do. You're going to do all these things. And then you're going to pick 3 items, just 3, the items that day that are of high importance. Been working with coaching clients on that in the last week, and some of them have picked some really wonderful moments. The power session might be taking children to school, creating something unusual and different during the drive. It might be a family activity in the evening. It might be meeting with a client during the day. But during this time, a power session means I'm going to be so fully present, practicing intrinsic validation, stepping into their world, really listening for doors. What's really important to them? Can I hear it? Can I acknowledge it? Can I take down their walls of resistance? Can I be a safe place so that they can feel comfortable in letting their walls down and having a real connection with me? That's a power session. So we're going to schedule three of those. And you're going to begin that process at noon. We want you to read scroll number 9, I Will Act Now, so that we remember to stay in action during the day. We don't let the day wash over us, and we forget to be focused. Then we finish our power sessions. At the end of the day, we want to spend just a moment with a journal. I've got some great friends, Kevin Hall. Kevin Hall says there's two books we should be carrying, one we're writing and one we're reading. Good friend Dan McCormick does the same thing. Journalers. The journals filling their bookshelves. They keep track of everything, every thought they have that's inspired. They write down special events that have occurred in the day and go back and review them later. Just a wonderful thing to have our life documented. I have shared with some that I lost an entire year when I was writing on the book. The hard drive of my laptop crashed, and although the computers in my office are redundantly backed up, it was not. We sent the hard drive to the FBI lab in Washington, D.C. to try to recover it. Could not recover any of it. But my book was in my journal. I just opened up the journal and began again. There it was, all those thoughts, all those ideas, all those principles. So you want to be journaling. So you journal what happened, and this is what you want to journal. What happened that may not have happened had I not been that conscious? What did I create? What happened that might not have happened? I know it's a double negative, but had I have not been that conscious? Just write it down. And then you want to read scroll 7, I'll Laugh at the World, and then you sleep like a baby. And you get up the next morning and do the same thing. Devotional, scroll 5, pick 3 things, execute on them while you're reading scroll 9 at noon, scroll 7 at night, journaling. Do that for the next week. I wonder who on the phone would be willing to take that challenge, to actually do this, actually walk your talk, to do what's required. So many of us talk about our love of the scrolls with others. The question is, which scroll are we currently studying? Are we actually spending time with this material? Are we feeding our soul? Or are we just expecting other people to feed theirs? Are we walking our talk? Are we in integrity? Are our intentions, our motives pure? Are we increasing our capabilities? Are we getting results as a result of this? Who would like to take this on? Can you keep a commitment to yourself? This is one of those questions in integrity. And keep it. I would challenge you to make it, and I would challenge you to keep it, and see what you create in the next week. Come prepared next week to share. I'd love to hear from more of you that are having experiences in your life. And they don't need to be all success stories. Often you sharing a challenge you're currently facing will bless the lives of almost everyone else. I remember when Cynthia shared with us about the challenge she was having with her daughter. And this week she's having an opportunity for her daughter to be placed in a very safe place for a period of time sufficient to bless her life. Cynthia took action. She found comfort in being able to share on this call. It really served her. And I know her sharing served others because we heard from you. Have the courage to bring some of those things here. We don't need to mention your name even. Let us share those things that we're challenged and struggling with. because I can best serve you if I know where you are in this moment. Well, thanks everybody for being on the call tonight. We'll open up one last time if there's anyone else that would like to share. Are there any other comments for this evening? Okay, well, we thank you for being on the call. Let us go speed up trust, because when trust can be sped up, things happen much faster. We don't want to be slowing it down by having challenges in those four core areas that we've discussed tonight. And start practicing your power sessions. This is a way of life for us to become very aware of how much time we're spending in our heads, even when we're walking around in tangible reality, disconnected and unconscious. May we live conscious lives. Find the joy that we so richly deserve. Well, everybody have a great evening, and we will see you next Tuesday evening. Thank you.